This morning, as we gather as a church, we know that our calling as Christians extends beyond the walls of the sanctuary. It summons us to venture in the world and engage in the community, the humanity that surrounds us. And as we consider the commandment to go, we will draw both on instruction and inspiration from the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who did not sit in a building only associated with his disciples and like-minded followers, but he hit the road, sought and engaged with everyone. From this morning's scripture, remember Mark 2, 13 through 17 that Mark read, it says, "Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" This is just one of many examples of Jesus' commitment to all parts of the community. So consider this. As Jesus was walking along, he saw Levi, a tax collector, sitting at a tax booth. And this was in a time in society where tax collectors were often viewed as with disdain. Glad that's been corrected, right? Jesus did the unexpected. He called Levi to be one of his disciples. He said, "Come, follow me." This simple act spoke volumes about Jesus' willingness to embrace those deemed unworthy by society standards. And he didn't stop there. He attended a feast at Levi's house. He sat at the table with a tax collector and other tax collectors and their friends and sinners. And when questioned about his choice of companions, Jesus said this, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I haven't come to call the righteous, but the sinners." I love that last sentence. This powerful statement underscores the heart of Jesus' ministry to reach out to those society had rejected, to heal the broken, and to offer salvation to all. Jesus' example challenges us to examine our own lives. Are we limiting our interactions to those within the safety of our own church community, within our comfort zone, or are we, like Jesus, venturing into the world to connect with those who need the message of hope? Our call to community engagement is not confined to the New Testament. In fact, it's in the First Testament we find numerous examples of God's people reaching out to those in need. Isaiah 58, 6 through 7, it says, the prophet records God's words this way. It says, "Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? It is not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood." These words remind us that faith is not a passive observance, but an active engagement and the needs of our fellow human beings. We are called to break the yoke of oppression, to feed the hungry, to provide shelter for the homeless. And this resonates with Jesus' ministry and the message of the New Testament, showing a continuity of God's heart for all people throughout the ages into including today. From cover to cover, the Bible reveals how acts of compassion and community are celebrated. We know this from the parable of the Good Samaritan found in Luke 10. Jesus teaches us the importance of showing mercy to our neighbors, even when society influences us to think otherwise. The Samaritan, considered an outsider, went above and beyond to care for a wounded stranger. And this challenged us to question our preconceived notions and fear of judgment and to reach out to those we may consider outsiders. In our contemporary context, there are countless examples of individuals and congregations embodying the spirit of the Good Samaritan. Consider the story of a small church in a struggling neighborhood whose members decided to open their doors to provide shelter and meals for the homeless during harsh winter months. Their actions echoed the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, 35 through 36. We know this. He said, "For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Consider this small church in our own neighborhood who regularly pulls together for the needs of others just down the street, up the highway in the nearest town, or even helping others on the other side of the world. In this past 2 weeks, I think we've done examples of all those. This little church. Our community engagement should not be limited to grand gestures, and we haven't let it, but should also encompass a simple act of kindness that reflect the love of Christ, whether it's visiting the sick or the elderly, or volunteering at a local food bank or event, or mentoring a person who's struggling. Every act of compassion is a seed sown for the kingdom. We said that in a responsive reading. Every act of compassion is a seed sown for God's kingdom. And there is a transformative power in this kind of community. The gospel not only calls us to engage with the marginalized, but also invites us to experience this transformative power in our own lives. In Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, we're reminded, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This passage highlights the strength that comes from unity and shared burdens. As we engage with our community, both as a congregation and individuals, we become a part of a network of support and encouragement. Together, we can withstand the challenges of life and what it presents, knowing that we're not alone. And when we do that with others, we help them withstand the challenges of life. But you notice something. That verse only spoke of two strands for several sentences until the very end, when it says a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Where did that third strand come from? Yeah, it's God, it's Christ in our lives. Now consider the statement I made a moment ago. Together, we can withstand the challenge that life presents, knowing that we are not alone, okay? Together, the three of us. I love this, and this image on the slide, go back one if you don't mind. I think this was on Etsy or something. I love this because in some of the weddings I've done in recent years, they've gotten away from the candles, which is a great thing of unity, or they've done the sand, which is a great thing of unity. And I've seen this cord, the cord of three. And what a great reminder, and I love how this is all put together, you know, that the three strands are wound together. I think that's a great for any relationship, marriage, job, whatever it may be, the cord of three strands. The early Christian community provides a compelling example of people dedicated to internal fellowship and external outreach. In Acts 2:42-47, we read about these early believers. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with a glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And then what happened? It says the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. The early Christians recognized the importance of both internal fellowship and external outreach. Here at Golden Beach Community Church, we call this our nurture and our outreach. From the books of Acts, we learn that they met regularly for worship, prayer, and mutual support. And simultaneously, so while they were doing all that, they engaged with the needs of the broader community, sharing their resources to ensure that no one among them was in need. In our modern context, this model challenges us to foster a strong sense of community within our congregation while maintaining an outward focus of those who are still searching for the hope found in Christ. Our gathering should not be exclusive, but welcoming, echoing the inclusive love of Jesus Christ. The concept of the church as a community on a mission is a powerful and transformative aspect of our Christian faith. As we explore this idea, we are once again reminded that the mission of the church extends beyond the walls of this physical structure and encompasses a dynamic engagement with the world. And it's not an isolated endeavor, but a collective, intentional effort that involves the entire body of believers, all of us here, all of us across the world that follow Jesus, to work together to fulfill the great commission given by Jesus in Matthew 28:19, which tells us to go and make disciples. This commission is not a mere suggestion, but a vital command, a divine mandate for the church to be actively involved in the world, sharing the message of salvation and making disciples. The idea of community on a mission involves the entire community of believers working together. The church as a community on a mission should be a place where members uplift and inspire one another, fostering an environment where everyone is equipped and encouraged to fulfill their unique roles in the mission. This mission of the church is not limited by even our geographical boundaries, although we are somewhat geographically limited because of where we are. It's not intended to be that way. While local outreach is essential for addressing the needs of the immediate community, the church is also called to engage in global missions. Acts 1:8 speaks of being witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This implies a multifaceted mission that considers both the local and global context, demonstrating the universality of God's love and the transformative message of the gospel. So, question for you. How can we as a small church in rural Missouri make an impact? How can we make an impact? Becky, I get you on podcast at least once.
Doing.
Doing. What is there, something practical? Okay, we've got a mission ahead of us, and if we need to come up with some answers. There are things that we can be doing as a small church, even in rural Missouri. Others, we can. The mission of the church involves intentional discipleship, nurturing believers in their faith and equipping them to make disciples. This process goes beyond mere attendance and numerical growth, right? It encompasses the depth of spiritual maturity and a commitment to living out the teachings of Christ. In this way, the church becomes a dynamic community where individuals are not only transformed, but are also agents of transformation. We should gauge our efforts, not by the butts and pews, pardon me, but by souls bound for heaven. If we're doing a good job, we shouldn't count it by the number of people here, but the number of people headed that way. And this requires our active engagement, especially when we consider the big mission of our little church. And life is certainly loaded with plenty of things outside of our control. We talked about that last week. A community on a mission recognizes that challenges are inevitable. We as both the church and individuals must be adaptable and responsive. The early church, they faced persecution, yet it persevered and thrived. Similarly, the contemporary church must be willing to adapt its methods while remaining anchored in the unchanging message of the gospel. Hear me when I say that. We must remain anchored in the unchanging message of the gospel. This may mean seeking cultural relevance, but this also must be done without compromising the core tenets of the faith. The church on a mission seeks to understand and connect with the culture it serves while upholding truths of Scripture. And this delicate balance allows the church to effectively communicate the gospel in a way that resonates with the hearts and minds of people. Consider the community around us. What does this look like? We're generally a seasonal neighborhood. People come down here to boat and fish and spend time with family and outdoors and have fun. Okay? We are more likely to see flip-flops and shorts in this church than we are suits. All are welcome. That is a cultural, what would you call that? You know, and for some it might be a different way of thinking, but the same way, it's the way that we're being culturally acceptable because we want people here, right? Now, we're not talking about sacrificing salvation issues. We're not. But we need to understand the needs of the people that we're trying to serve. That's just one. We also understand that there's a lot of visitors. There's a lot of company. And attendance is something that's sometimes hard to do because people have guests in town. Sometimes we're traveling to visit our family and friends elsewhere. That is the nature of this church. And that's okay. It's a part of our culture here. We are your base camp. We are your home church while you're in the lake. Whether it's for a weekend, for a season, or year round. That's what Golden Beach Community Church is. And I think we've done a good job of embracing that in the neighborhood. Now, no one shouted out, but well, Becky did have an answer. But when I said, what was the answer when I asked how a church our size, a small church in rural Missouri, can make a global impact? And what came to my mind is prayer. Prayer. The mission of the church is fueled by prayer. Acts 4:31 highlights the role of prayer in the early church. It says, and when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. We fuel our mission with prayer. As we prayed earlier in the service for people in our congregation and our family members and friends and people whose stories we've heard from around the world that need prayer, we are fueling our faith and theirs. A community on a mission recognizes the dependence on the power of the Holy Spirit and the need for fervent corporate. And hear me, when I say corporate, that's when we all get together, okay? Collective, communal prayer. Friends, the ultimate goal of the church is the transformation of lives, not just our own. And celebrating the stories of changed hearts and restored lives and renewed communities reinforces the purpose and impact of the mission. These testimonies, our testimonies, become the powerful tools for evangelism and encouragement within the community. As we contemplate the call to community, it's essential that we address the potential barriers that may hinder us. One significant obstacle is the fear of the unknown. Stepping out of our comfort zone to interact with those who are different from us or may judge or reject us for any reason. But take courage. The Bible assures us in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. When you invoke that spirit, when you stop listening to the other voices or spirits that may be nudging you, you will recognize that God gave you a spirit of power and love and self-control. With the Holy Spirit as your guide, you can and will overcome your fear and embrace the diversity of God's creation. This invocation of the Holy Spirit help echoes last week's message about recognizing our own limits and our DIY mentality. Another hindrance may be the busyness of our lives as we juggle work and family and other commitments. However, Jesus provides a perspective shift in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When we prioritize God's kingdom and his kingdom work, our actions align with his purpose, and the seemingly overwhelming aspects fall into place as God secures our steps on the path we're on. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his disciple that they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. How does this happen for us? When we fear the unknown or uncomfortable, we can create opportunities to stretch ourselves like the original apostles and gatherers did. When we feel we are too busy, we can make community engagement a priority by scheduling it into our days and our weeks. It doesn't have to be an impromptu to be powerful, and it doesn't have to be overthought or highly orchestrated to make an impact for the people we're reaching out to. When we don't feel like we have the particular gift or resource that we might think we need, we partner with others who do. When we feel that we lack the vision or drive as a group, we reinvigorate the mission. We remind ourselves of why we do it. And this is just a part of today's annual congregational meeting. To cast, to discuss, to agree upon, and implement our vision for the next season of ministry at Golden Beach Community Church. In overcoming barriers, the church can cultivate a congregational mentality and community that actively participates in God's mission. We demonstrate the love of Christ in tangible ways. By fostering a culture of openness, addressing practical constraints, encouraging and equipping members with necessary skills, the fellowship believers, that's us, that is the church, can break down barriers and become a force in the community. I'd like to conclude by sharing some practical steps as we hit the road to share the good news of the gospel and guide people into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. So as we look towards our vision for 2024, let's be sure that we, both collectively as a church and individually, engage in some important activities. Prayer. Let's seek God's guidance for opportunities to engage with the community and to boldly interact. Let's read our Bibles. Let's immerse ourselves in the teaching of Jesus and the biblical call to love and serving others. And let's seek to understand and apply, not just read and repeat the words. Let's identify local needs, but by watching for them and actively seeking out. Instead of hearing about something and going, we could do something to help, we should proactively say, where and how can Golden Beach Community Church make a difference? Let's proactively form community partnerships. We've done a lot this year in regards to the garden, the choir that was here, working with other congregations, other organizations. We band together, and we may be small in size, but our combined efforts make exponential impact when we do this for God's work. And we should evaluate and adapt. Let's regularly assess if the impact we're making on the community is one that it should be, that it's relevant. We may need to make tweaks. You know, we're all, whatever we were doing, the entire world, and then COVID happened, right? And we adapted. Those who couldn't adapt, they kind of fell out of favor, and those who did became stronger for it. The church is a community on a mission, is a vibrant, it's a purposeful body of believers actively participating in God's redemptive plan for the work. We may feel like a small and motley crew, no offense, right? But God sees a beauty in our collective effort, mutual support, intentional discipleship and commitment to both local and global outreach. I believe that brings him joy. I do. As we embrace this mission, let us do so with the understanding it is not our own strength, but the power of the Holy Spirit that equips us, empowers us to take on the task. As we reflect on this call to community engagement, let us heed the words of Jesus from Matthew 5:16. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So as we hit the road and pursue our engagement with the community beyond these walls and outside of our comfort zone, we're not exercising a mere social responsibility. Our actions are the manifestation of our faith in action. Just as Jesus reached out to everyone, so too are we called to be the hands and feet of Christ in a world desperately in need of his love. May the Holy Spirit empower us to break down barriers, to overcome our fears, to embrace the diverse tapestry of humanity. Let our community be a testament of the transformative power of Christ's love, drawing others into the warmth of his embrace. As we venture into the world, both as a congregation and as individuals, may our actions resonate with the profound truth that we are indeed our brothers and sisters' keepers. Let's make that our prayer as we prepare to hit the road. Sow spiritual seeds and make an impact for the world in God's name. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I recall a little choir concert when my daughter was there on stage. And I don't remember the name of the song, but I remember the part where they screamed, "We're little, but we're loud." And as always, we all laugh. We also could resonate with that a little bit. Lord, let this church be little but loud. Not screaming and making noise, but being heard as we share the good news of the gospel, as we show your love to others, as we guide them into a relationship with you. Lord, it's a big responsibility, it's a big mission, and we are wanting to be a part of it. Thank you for your blessing and your guidance, especially today as we gather as a congregation for our annual meeting and discuss the past year, as we set goals and vision for the next year and into the future. Lord, would you guide our conversations? Will you lay upon our hearts the direction you want us to seek? And then would you reward us as you have done throughout all time, all the way back to the original churches in Acts, where we focus on the things that are important, gathering together, providing for those in need, praying diligently, continue to lifting each other up. And we know that you will add to the numbers. We thank you for that, the impact that's going to be made in your son's name. All glory to him. Amen.